Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And thank you so much for tuning in. I'm a little under the weather today, so please excuse my deep, sweet, sultry voice.
Oh, my God, it's Damian White.
never going to quit.
But thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Please follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. But today we're talking about Presence that came out. It was January 24th of this year. It actually originally released on the 19th of last year.
Yeah.
At the Sundance Music Festival. But I guess you need a year to process.
Yeah, get, you know, mainstream release.
Yeah, but it's starring Lucy Liu as the mother, Chris Sullivan as the father, Chelina Liang as Chloe.
Yeah.
And Eddie
Mede
as Tyler.
And West Mulholland is Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the real horror of this movie. Now, this movie, the trailer did kind of give off kind of like a false, like, advertisement in a way where it was making you think like it's like a Paranormal Activity type of.
Yeah, like a ghost movie. Yeah.
But really, I mean, in all reality, it's not the horror of the spirit. It's the horror of just people in general. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, the evil that men do is definitely like the underlying basis
of the movie. Big time. But yeah, without spoilers, this movie, it's shot from the perspective of the spirit in the house, and everything's pretty much one take. Each scene is one take, which is done really, really well.
Yeah, especially considering that, like, literally the entire shooting of the film only took 3 weeks.
Yeah, and so they had a budget of, what, $2 million?
Yeah.
And
$2 million
helps. Yeah, and they doubled opening day, so
yeah,
it was, I mean... It's a really, really good movie. I do recommend you go see it. But yeah, it's a unique point of view. It's original. That's what I love about it. I mean, and the storyline is just...
Yeah, the storyline was...
God, like, dude, it just has you all over the place.
Yeah. You keep thinking, like, it gives you little tidbits, and you keep thinking that it's going to evolve into something different than what it really comes out to be. So, yeah, it was a really great movie. Like I said, I think one of the things that got a lot of people was that it kind of did look like it was going to be your typical paranormal movie.
Yeah.
It was like a luminous spirit, you know, like lurking, watching, and you were kind of getting the feeling that it was, you know, almost malevolent. Like it was going to be a bad spirit. And then when you really get into it, it is just really a family dynamic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and of course you do have an evil undertone there. There are some, you know, we don't want to give too many spoilers, but You definitely get more of a suspenseful feel from the film.
Yeah, it's very suspenseful. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. You know, you get really connected with Chloe. You know, because it's mainly about her. The spirits are really attached to her, and so you kind of see from how she's dealing with the family dynamic. You know, how things are dealing with her. She, you know, had experienced loss and trauma, and the mom's not really attentive to her.
Yeah, the mom's definitely, like, absorbed, like, massive workaholic in this film.
And very close to the son.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie, it's really great, so please go check it out if you haven't. I mean, it's a really, really good movie. Now, to the spoiler part of it, you know, so if you don't want to hear spoilers, you know,
you can stop and go check it out. Yeah, you might want to tune out right now.
But opening of the movie, you kind of see the ghost wandering the house. It's very dark in the house, and it's kind of showing how things are going to be filmed, pretty much. You see the perspective from the ghost, going through the house, kind of showing you the setup of it all. And then it cuts to black, and then you're back to seeing some workers, you know, repainting it, fixing it up. One of the workers doesn't want to go in one particular room because, you know, he says he doesn't get a good feeling in there.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, he just decides not to do it. And then it cuts to them moving in, the family. They're really worried about the school, or the mom is really worried about Rebecca. She's more worried about, you know, the school district.
She's totally focused on Eddie Mede's character, Tyler, coming into the new school district.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he's on the star swim team. Athlete. Yeah. You know, he's the champion of the swim team.
Yeah.
And they're kind of moving districts to kind of get him into a more prestigious school that obviously, you know, kind of more fits their needs.
Yeah.
Of course, much to the chagrin, they don't care what Chloe needs.
No,
well,
yeah.
Well, the mother doesn't. The father.
The father, he's more, yeah.
Yeah, Chris plays the father, and he essentially comes in, and he's, you know, obviously more attentive to what Chloe's needs are, because he sees that huge disconnect and valley between the mother. Yeah.
She's very Tiger Mom-ish, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, she's real more focused on the son rather than the daughter, and she's more focused on, you know, getting him the best that he needs.
Yeah.
And the daughter's like, all right, she's there, you know. So, and we soon find out that the reason Chloe's kind of cut off from the family is because she had just experienced two losses from her friends. You know, they both, at that moment, we know that they overdosed. You know, they went to sleep, never came back, and it was an overdose. And so that's trauma. That's, you know, a huge thing. But the mom's like, no, you know, she'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll suck it up. Yeah,
yeah, you know. People so die every day.
Yeah, so much your little friends died.
Can she swim? Can she, you know? But yeah, so the dad is like, dude, we need to help her. We need to like get her, you know, new medicine or maybe a therapist, you know, a new therapist to help her out. And the mom's like, oh, she needs this time. Like, don't worry about her. Like, she's fine.
Yeah, it's going to heal all, obviously.
Yeah, and the father's worried about, like, well, I don't want her to, you know, to lead into substance abuse, you know?
Yeah,
like,
she's already had two friends die from, you know, overdoses.
Yeah.
You know, it's very possible that she could be the third. So the dad's focusing on that, and it kind of also, from this point, goes into, you get this sneaking suspicion. They don't really, it never really comes to full blossom, but you do get little tidbits that the mom's kind of caught up with something at work that might not completely be on the up and up.
Yeah, man. She's very, very like,
she's taking calls and she's kind of skirting around the house.
One of the calls she takes outside and she's like, you know, I don't care what happens. You know, I sleep well at night.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping well at night. And I'm like, oh, what is she doing? Like, what is she, you know, doing? What is her job about? Like,
yeah.
She cutting throats to get to where she needs to
be? Well, yeah. And then that they never really do like come. I guess it was like, not really needed for the storyline, but they, you know, they never really did tell you what it was that she did.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the fact that she's doing something underhandedly.
Yeah.
They never tell you what her actual profession is.
Yeah.
The dad, you don't really get a sense of what his profession is either.
Yeah.
But the dad's got connections.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the dad does, you know, you kind of get a, you know, glimpse early in the movie that the dad is kind of at the point where he is kind of fed up with the activities of the mom the way that she treats Chloe.
And the son, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
the way they, you know, she just exemplifies everything that Tyler does, and he can do no wrong. And so the dad's, like, at the point where he's kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
And so he's just ready to cut bait and run.
Yeah, and he calls a lawyer, and he's pretty much, like, saying, like, hey, man, like, you know, what are the, you know,
what are the repercussions if you are married to someone who essentially is being investigated,
is doing illegal activities within their job. And it's like, okay, so he knows his wife is doing something fishy.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want to be involved anymore. And you can kind of see, like, it's not the picture perfect family that he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, he's done. And he like breaks down to the dude and it's like, you know, things aren't going good. Things are getting worse. And, you know, it's just bad. But to Chloe, you know, there's a presence in her room that she senses. It's kind of hiding in the closet, you know, from the audience's point of view, you're looking through the spirit and, you know, you get introduced to Chloe and she's very shy and kind of to herself because of how the mom is. And Chloe thinks that the ghost that is, you know, not kind of
the spirit that's attached to her is her friend.
Yeah,
it's
she like thinks it's one of her friends.
Yeah.
Nadia, I believe, is what she said.
Yeah, Nadia.
And so she's trying to talk to it about it at the dinner table, and the dad's like, okay, like,
dad's totally receptive.
Yeah.
But mom's just like, you know, you're
the brother.
The brother's just he's a tool bag. The whole movie, he's just, you know, he is exactly what the mother wanted him to be. So he is just like a complete jerk to his sister. The whole movie, the dad is like the hero. He steps up. Yeah. And he's like, hey, you know what? Cut this out. I don't want to hear this.
You're cussing at the dinner table. Yeah. And nothing wrong with cussing, but like you don't want to see your kid just.
Yeah, I mean, he's just snapping out, and the dad keeps referencing it, like, in multiple parts of the film. And, you know, he's dropping F-bombs.
Yeah.
And the dad's just like, oh, is that really, like, is that really proving a point? Is that emphasizing anything important to the conversation?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. You're just, like, talking out of your neck because you want to be Billy Badass.
Yeah, and, pretty much.
You know, the dad's having none of it. But the dad, you know, once again, like, it goes that the dad really cares about Chloe.
Yeah.
So he happens to call the realtor who sold them the house.
Yeah.
And she says that her sister is somewhat of a clairvoyant.
Yeah, because before that, I believe that's when they actually see what happens is because they get introduced to, what's his name? The friend of Ryan. Tyler's friend. You get introduced to him. He's like, you know, he likes Chloe. He has some interest. He's like, dude, you know, your sister, like, yeah. Hey. And he's like, no. Tyler's like, no, dude, you're not going to mess with my sister. But they're talking about a prank that they're going to do to one of the girls at school. And so at night, they're talking about it. He's like talking to his mom about it. And she's like, wow, like you can do no wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically, he has like, they've convinced a young girl to send nudes.
Yeah.
And the mom's just like, oh, really? And then the dad's just like,
What this the is hell? Like
hella like, illegal. Did you at least delete the pictures, dummy?
And he's like, oh, I don't have them. Like,
oh, no, yeah. No. Those are long. No. Those aren't. And then the dad's like, yeah, well, they're on the internet.
Yeah. No, Chloe's like, dude, well, I just got the picture.
She
like,
gets it. Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, really? And like, yeah, they're up all over the internet.
Yeah. But.
And it's like, dude, like, this dude's a little jerk. Like, that's not a prank, bro. That's just like. Yeah, so the spirit gets mad and runs up to Tyler's room and just starts trashing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of what he did. And so finally the family sees it, you know, happening. And that's when the dad decides to call
The dad calls the realtor's sister who. It was kind of.
Her sister. Yeah, her sister-in-law.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange character because she comes in and they make it seem almost like. First, they kind of make it seem like she's like a super clairvoyant.
Yeah.
And then her husband is with her, and her husband's like her handler. So she has all these experiences, and at first she won't even cross the threshold of the house.
Yeah, because from the spirit's point of view, she notices him right away because the spirit rushes towards her.
Yeah.
And she sees it immediately that there's a spirit in the house.
So she knows there's something there, and so. While she's sitting there communing, and they have these old, through the whole movie, they have these old mirrors. And so those were obviously left in the house. They're original to the house. And she becomes fixated with the mirrors.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you don't see stuff like this anymore. And they're kind of, you know, I forget the word, but they're like scaring mirrors.
Yeah.
Something like that, or basically like you could use them. And you could look past the veil.
Yeah,
pretty much. And they pretty much blurred the veil between the living and the dead. And so the clairvoyant is like, oh, well, telling, you know, Chloe that this is what's going on. But then she kind of is like, oh, I need a glass of water.
Yeah, because she touches the.
She touches the corner of the mirror and she goes down.
Yeah. And she's like pretty much saying that the spirit is. It doesn't know what it is. And it doesn't know why it's there because time, obviously, it works different. It could be past, present to it. It doesn't know. It just needs to figure out why it's there and what its purpose is. And slowly, it'll find out. But it's just like Chloe. It's hurting just like her. And so Chloe thinks it's Nadia. Like it has to be her friend that OD'd. Like it has to be her.
Yeah. And then in a parallel shift, the husband who is the handler takes the father, Chris, aside and is like, oh, hey, man, you know, she had an experience right here. She's not going to be able to go back to work like today or like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or like, and Chris is kind of like, after a minute of listening to this, he's like, oh, I'm trying to pick up what you're putting out. You want money.
Yeah.
And so it makes it seem almost like this clairvoyant thing is kind of, you know,
a scam.
Not on the up and up. It's kind of shiesty. But obviously, like, Chris pays and they both leave.
Yeah, the mom's like, did you pay her?
Yeah, then he gets sidebarred.
Yeah.
Dad, of course, is going to catch a tongue lashing for that one.
Yeah.
You know, did you pay that woman to come into our house and say some crazy stuff just so that you could, you know, derive some sympathy for Chloe kind of a feeling you get? And so he, you know, obviously an argument ensues.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lucy Liu's character is just, you know, argumentative all the way around.
Oh, dude, yeah, she's
like
insufferable. Like, I just
well, can't. I do like Lucy Liu.
Played the character very well.
It was very well done. So at that point, everything kind of pseudo goes back to normal.
Yeah.
Ryan obviously is now, you know, the hound scratching at the back door.
Yeah.
You know, he is not listening to his friend. So Ryan is basically, now he's actively engaging Chloe.
Yes.
So Ryan is, he's the son of a pharmacist.
Yeah.
So Ryan's got the good. He's got, you know, you need it, and red ones, blue ones, whole freaking rainbow. This kid's got you covered. You want something to make you feel mellow, he's got you. So he and Chloe start engaging, and they basically, you know, they go on a little trip together, let's just say. He gives her some pills. I'm not really sure what they were. They reference that it's weed, but it's in a pill form. So
I don't know what it was. It could have been.
It looked like pills to me on her nightstand.
Yeah.
So that kind of starts to develop, and you get the feeling that, you know, he starts coming off kind of odd. He starts giving her, like, he starts telling her that kind of like self-deprecating, like,
yeah,
I'm not a good person, pretty much.
That he doesn't have control of his life. Yeah, that everybody, like his mom and dad, have control of everything.
Yeah, the master of him.
Yeah. And because at first, Chloe's kind of, you know, confide in him pretty much because, you know, she lost her friends. And she probably hasn't anybody to console with because, you know, the mom is kind of brushing her off.
Brother's not, they're not really connected.
And the brother is not even, you know, close to her. So finally she finds somebody that she can actually cry to. But Ryan's like, well, you know, this is how I feel too. And pretty much saying, you know, yeah, that he has no control, but that their relationship, that she can be in control of that relationship.
Yeah. She can have him mind, body, and soul pretty much.
Yeah. So they start a romantic, pretty much, relationship. And so that's a red flag to me. Like, dude, you're saying you have no control over your life. You're kind of breaking down to me. But then you tell me, like, if we're together, I'm in control of you. Like, yeah, wow, that's
like, you're just going to take the subservient role, like, from jump. And a lot of the engagement between Ryan and Chloe are taken from this perspective of the spirit.
Yeah.
Whether it be Nadia or whoever, it's essentially in the room. And for some reason, it is fixated with the closet in Chloe's room.
Yeah.
So that's where it hides. That's where it apparently feels comfortable.
Yeah.
So through, you know, as this relationship and everything develops through the film, this spirit will basically check on people through the closet.
Yeah.
So it hides in the closet and watches what goes on. So as the relationship obviously develops, there's a sexual encounter.
Yeah.
That obviously is watched through the mirror. And it's almost like the spirit is trying to get out, but then due to the fact that stuff's going on, it keeps regressing back into the closet.
Yeah, it kind of hides its view. Yeah. Yeah. From watching Chloe and Ryan kind of do it, like, it just kind of hides behind the clothes.
And so, you know, now builds the story of that relationship. And of course, you kind of start to see Ryan in almost a usury situation, because you can kind of see him playing, you know, the brother.
Yeah.
He's not as innocent as he seems, because he's doing almost to Tyler what he did to the other student in showing the nudes. I mean, not that precise, but
yeah,
you can see that it's kind of like every time he's with Tyler, Tyler's like, you are so awesome, dude. You are like the best swimmer on earth. You are like the coolest. And Ryan's just like, oh yeah, man. Well, you know,
yeah,
I am kind of the best swimmer on earth. You know, Aquaman called me last week. Yeah. Kind of crap. And you're just like, what? So you kind of see him being a little bit more manipulative. And so, of course, as this is progressing, mom gets called out of town on a business trip.
Yeah, so dad and mom are going to go.
Yeah, dad and mom are, dad is confiding in mom that, listen, I basically had my crap packed and I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Because I know you're not telling me, but I know there's something going on.
Yeah.
And so I was about to like cut bait and run. But rather than do that, I'm here for the long run. I want to work on our marriage.
He's there. Even though she's kind of crappy to him and to the
Whole family dynamic's pretty crappy. So, yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's just terrible.
This poor bastard. He's
trying, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying everything he can to make this thing work. So he goes, and they're going out of town. So he's going downstairs and carrying the bags, and they're getting ready to leave. And, of course, right behind him is Chloe. He's saying goodbye to Chloe, and he's saying, no parties, no one coming
and
over.
And it's like he knows, like, look, you're going to have somebody over.
Oh, absolutely. Because she's like, no, I know, no one's coming. And then he's like, yeah, right, I'm not that stupid.
Yeah.
But, of course, once again, to show what a tool bag the brother is, they're getting ready to leave for, like, a long weekend. Rather than saying goodbye to your family, he's upstairs taking a shower.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, where's your brother? Where's Ryan? And she's like, oh, he's upstairs in the shower. And, of course, well, tell him I said bye, and they take off.
Yeah. And then so cut to
Ryan.
Ryan and
Ryan doing his party phase by himself.
Yeah.
So now everybody's.
Or Tyler. Tyler.
Tyler, pardon me. So Tyler is pretty much doing his. The minute that they leave, Tyler is like, hey, I'm going to go through and I'm just going to start drinking straight vodka, just like my mom.
Yeah. And Chloe and Ryan had already planned out that what they were going to do.
They were going to meet up.
They were going to meet up.
So they could actually, you know, which is big when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like to sleep over like for the first time.
Yeah. No parents are there.
Yeah. It's groundbreaking. I mean, you're going to spend the night with your girlfriend or your boyfriend with no, you know.
Yeah, parental supervision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you already know it's going to
go down.
So
they're like, well, how is this going to work? Because, you know, as soon as, you know, Tyler finds out, you know, it's going to be game over.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I'll slip a little something in his drink and I'll give it to him. But we forgot the biggest part of that before all this. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
No,
go ahead, brother.
There is a scene where you kind of see who Ryan truly is. He goes to get...
Oh, that's true. After the sexual encounter.
Yeah, after the sexual encounter, she goes in to take a shower. Ryan's like, okay, I'll go get you a drink. So he gets some orange juice, and I guess I'm assuming he mixes it with, you know, alcohol or something. Oh, yeah, he does mix it with alcohol. And he puts some...
He puts powdery substance in there.
Yeah, mixes in it, and he's like, okay, I'm going to go give this to her. So he goes up there, and the spirit, seeing that, when she goes to grab the drink after she gets out of the shower, it shakes the
nightstand so that the orange juice falls off and spills onto the carpet.
Yeah, so...
So she's not getting drugged this day.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that,
yeah.
And so when they plan to drug... Tyler for the, you know, their day.
Well, he says he's going to take care of Tyler.
Yeah, he's going
to,
yeah.
He doesn't really allude to the fact of what he's going to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He doesn't allude. He says that basically he is going to take care of Tyler. Don't worry about Tyler. I'm going to take care of him.
Yeah, so they start drinking that night. They start drinking.
Tyler's drinking by himself before Ryan even gets there. He's getting drunk, playing, you know, his playlist and doing it, just vibing.
Yeah.
Kids just downstairs vibing, and Ryan shows up and... He's very off-putting. He's very disrespectful jump. It's like he's just calling him out like, hey, you drinking, you know, that sissy stuff that your mom drinks?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, do you want some juice in that? And then he's like, oh, you know, he's like, no. Tyler's like, no, I just drink it straight. And he's like, ah, pussy. And then he goes through and he goes into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's when he pulls the old switcheroo on Tyler. The same way that he pulled it on Chloe earlier.
Yeah, except this time he succeeds.
Yes, he succeeds. So he keeps making Tyler take shots.
Yeah.
Which is only making him more, you know, prone to blacking out. So Tyler goes down. He's down for the count. He passes out on the couch.
So he goes to make another drink, slip some more powder in a glass, and...
Heads upstairs to meet his lady fair.
They're talking, and Chloe decided, I guess, you know, she's like, hey, look, I don't want anything... You know, I don't want any encounters anymore. Like, we could just be friends because, you know, she's going through a lot. You know, she lost some friends.
Yeah.
You know, she's having this family dynamic that's kind of, you know, putting stress on her shoulders. And she just kind of wants to just go through it alone and work stuff out. So she just wants a friend. She doesn't want a companion.
Yeah, like, no relationship. Like, you can still be friends. You can still have that. But, yeah, nothing further.
And so he starts to talk down on himself again, which is a red flag. He's starting to say, "Oh, I'm a, you know, I'm, you know, I'm a jerk, or I'm this and that." And she's like, "No, no, like you had nothing to do with it." And so he's like, "Okay," like a little puppy, you know. He's like, "Okay, well, can we at least just drink and talk?" And she's like, "Yeah, of course, because you just shit on yourself. So of course I'm gonna, you know, of course I'm gonna, you know, be friendly with you." So he gives her the drink, and now she does partake.
This time she does drink it. Yep. The spirit does not stop it.
Yeah. I mean, what can the spirit do? I mean, it can only do so much. And so they're talking or whatever, and she slowly starts to go to sleep, and he's like, "Yeah, do you like the way, you know, I touch your hair, this and that?" And finally she just passes out. And then it's revealed that Ryan is...
Yeah.
He's the one who...
He just starts spewing out the whole backstory.
Yeah,
of his crimes, he just starts his confession process.
Yeah.
So he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out like a vial, and you think, okay, it's more drugs.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, it's more drugs. He's going to drug her up, like take advantage of her, you know, do the Ryan thing. Yeah. Maybe he likes that kind of play. And then he pulls out like a little tiny roll of like Saran wrap.
Yeah.
And he's pulling it out. And at this point, while he's sitting there unfurling the Saran wrap, he's spilling all the beans.
Yeah.
Like he's just telling you how both the girls
that died,
Nadia and the other girl, they thought that they had basically kind of like suffocated or had asphyxiation or whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, he puts the Saran wrap over your mouth.
Thin plastic, over his mouth, over her mouth, yeah.
Because you can't tell that it was there. And basically, the weird part is he gives you little doses. It's like waterboarding.
It's kind of, it reminds me of like flatliners.
Yeah.
Like he's putting you on the edge of dying.
Yeah. You're like just right there, close to the edge. You can see over the edge.
Yeah.
But you're not going there.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's what he keeps doing. He puts the Saran wrap over her mouth and over her nose, and she's just about ready to go down, and that's when the spirit acts.
Yeah, he's trying to wake her up.
And the spirit runs downstairs
to wake Tyler. Yeah.
So it runs over to his right ear and starts whispering into his ear,
I think finally it like does like a scream kind of.
Yeah.
And that's what wakes.
And Tyler jumps up, and he, like, I don't know what provoked him to just be like, "Well, I passed out. Now I've got to go look for my sister."
Yeah. Well, I got a theory about that. So, and I've watched a couple videos and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So I got a theory about that, and I'll get to it after we finish this, the whole story thing. But
he bolts upstairs looking for his sister,
he's and like, he sees Chloe.
And he sees Ryan obviously right there, and he's like, "What the heck?" And so, like, a fight ensues. They're, you know, in fisticuffs, and they start pushing each other. And lo and behold, they get pushed next to this window that's at the fixation
point
of the room. And they fly out the window, dying in the driveway.
Yeah. So as much of a piece of shit that the brother was, he has a
redeeming act. He died to save his sister. Yeah.
And so we cut to black again. And when we cut back, the house is empty. And they're moving because there's no reason to be in that school district anymore because, you know, the son's gone.
Yeah.
And so when they're
Uncle Ed's down,
yeah,
you don't gotta be there no more.
So they're getting ready to leave, and Rebecca's in the dining area, looking out the window, and she just tells them, you know, "Give me a minute, let me just, you know, have my time before we leave." And she finally senses the spirit pulling her, so she goes to the mirror in the living room, and you see that the spirit is Tyler.
Yeah.
And she breaks down, and they go inside. The dad and daughter run inside. And, you know, she's saying that he came back. He came back to save you. And the reason is because the spirit of the whole time is you find out it's Tyler.
Yeah.
Because, like the psychic said, time doesn't work the same in the spirit world. So it probably, Tyler probably came back to save his sister.
It had that whole, like, to me, like, one thing that vibed on me through, like, a majority of the movie had a very, I mean, obviously, it's just a comparative. It's not, like, literal. But it had, like, a Donnie Darko vibe to it.
Yeah,
like, kinda, I felt like it had, like, the older brother. Because remember, Donnie Darko had Sarah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Sarah Darko, the movie is a completely different story. But Donnie Darko was done extremely well.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically it was Frank and all that and Donnie Darko that came back. And they kept, like, drawing, like, this space-time continuum.
Yeah.
And that's what I got off of this movie. It was like a space-time continuum. And it's his spirit disjointed with the reality of today. And he's in a different realm. And he's coming, you know, he's coming back. And they kind of throw you off, you know, oh, is it Nadia?
Yeah.
Because through most of the movie, you really think it's Nadia.
Yeah. And, I mean, the psychic even says it probably died in this house.
Yeah.
Even though the realtor said, no, there's been no deaths in this house.
Yeah.
But it's because it's a death in the future. Not
yeah,
because
they have to obviously disclose when, you know, somebody dies in your house.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just the whole, like, oh, it's Tyler. And the reason I was talking about the whole him waking him up is because, oh, maybe he knew the spirit finally knew it was that he himself is Tyler and that he needs to pretty much communicate. He's able to communicate better with himself because, of course, it's him.
Yeah.
So he can probably send a message like, hey, Chloe needs help. Like, you need to go and help her. And that's why he probably went straight for Chloe instead of thinking like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah. Very possible.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really good movie, man. It has you just kind of on, like I said, it's on the edge of your seat. You're just like, what's going on? What's the mom doing? It isn't like a big thing, but you can tell, like, it kind of shows just what kind of person she is. You get a good feel of who these characters are.
Yeah.
Especially the way it's shot. You'd think it would be kind of weird, but, I mean, it was perfect, man. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a very good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be another movie like this where it's shot like that.
I don't know. I mean, most of the movies I've been seeing lately, though, are shot very well. Like, they're really stepping up the game when it comes to cinematography. I mean, you had Nosferatu.
Yeah.
That was amazing. You know, and then
Wolfman had some good stuff in it.
Had some very good aspects to it. This movie, just the way it was shot, I mean, it looked a little bit grainier. It looked a little bit more like old camera angles.
Yeah.
Which were, you know, really good. It wasn't too overdone. But I overall just like the simplicity of the movie.
Yeah.
It was storytelling. That's what it was there for.
You didn't need a huge cast. You didn't need a bunch of settings. No. It was perfect. And then the twist at the end is like, oh, it was the sun the whole time.
Yeah.
And he finally floats off, you know, into the heavens pretty much.
Yeah, I wonder if you watch it again, if you'll actually see little maybe references that maybe you didn't catch the first time.
Yeah, well, there's stuff like he does, like in the movie, you know, he puts her books up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Closes the door when, you know, Ryan's there, so that way he doesn't peek in on her.
I wonder if, like, maybe that was one of the reasons why in the closet during the sex scene, it's almost as though the spirit wants to go out and engage. I mean, dude, if you saw your little sister having sex with, like, the creep Ola, who's going to kill, her in the future, you probably want to go behind him and strangle him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe that's what he's fighting. He's fighting the fact that he can't pierce that veil.
Yeah.
And get out there. But, like, still, like, the anger within him is strong enough to, like, compel him to do so.
Yeah. Oh, and then the house, you finally get a full scale of the house at the end, and it's blue. And Chloe, in the movie, her middle name is Blue. And I'm like, dude, this is a good little tie-in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I do recommend going and seeing it. I mean, I got a little choked up at the end because, you know, it's a very powerful scene. But, yeah, it was really good. And that was Presence, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Again, apologies for the way my voice sounds. Hopefully I'll be back.
Next week, Dan will be back. The ghost of Barry White's with us tonight.
Yeah, so if you want more of this, start an OnlyFans with just my voice.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but thank you so much for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Please rate and review anywhere you can. Again, follow us on Instagram, podcast Petrified24. Link will be in the description of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Time.